And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show for this Thursday, the 9th of October, 2025. How are you all keeping? I do hope you're very well indeed and enjoying this more calm, settled spell of weather we have. The mornings are getting darker, aren't they? But I'm in for it now. I've given up on summer. I'm looking forward to Halloween, to Christmas, dare I say January, February, and then looking forward to a bright start to the new year. Well, fingers crossed. But anyway, at least it's going to be decent weather now for at least a week anyway. Not roasting or anything, but nice and calm. We're here to keep you calm, or maybe even to rile you a little bit over the next 3 hours. We've got lots coming up on the show, lots of different stuff. We're going to be covering all the big, important local stories, local interests, of course. We're going to keep you up to date with what's happening nationally and internationally with the developments in the Middle East. You don't have to go anywhere. We've got it all for you here, right on your own back door on Highland Radio. 086 60 25000, that is the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25000. If you want to give us a call, it's 074 91 25000. Pat the Cope Gallagher will be joining us later on as well. Of course, he's one of the most senior, longest serving members of Dáil Éireann, and certainly of Fianna Fáil. He would have been at the meeting last night during which Micheál Martin went into full-on mea culpa mode and took full responsibility for the Jim Gavin fiasco. So we'll be getting the views of Pat the Cope Gallagher, who himself could have potentially been a legitimate presidential candidate for that party. We'll be speaking to an Oireachtas member who was abducted, as some would have it, on the flotilla that was trying to get aid to Gaza. We'll get their reaction as well to the overnight breakthrough, I suppose you could say. It hasn't made any of the papers, so I'm not mentioning it, that it seems to be a peace deal has been struck. Phase one has been agreed of a peace deal. And remarkably, part of that peace deal is actually they'll let people in Gaza eat. Really, that's, you know, when you see the terms of it. So hostages will be released. The Israeli forces will back out to an agreed line. Hostages will be released, and then they'll allow food in, so that people can eat, the general population can eat. You know, that's what was going on, but that's part of the peace deal, food for civilians. But anyway, look, it'll be discussed for years to come, of course, and the rights and wrongs and the ups and downs of it. But I think we will all be pleased, won't we, if there is a lasting peace there, because whilst it's far away, whilst we're far removed from it, you know, you still think about it, you still see the imagery, you still see the heartbreak and the travesty. And hopefully now the world's eyes will turn its attentions on other parts of the world where kids are suffering equally, if not worse. How else? How worse could you be? It's not a competition, but you know what I mean. There are other parts of the world where wars are raging and children have no future there as well. So hopefully those who've been excellent in campaigning in terms of Gaza and highlighting those atrocities now will treat all kids equally, and we'll have some attention on others as well. And I mean that in a global sense. The Tyrconnell Tribune, "The Knives Are Out for Micheál Martin," is the very clear headline here. Furious members of the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party are set for a showdown with Micheál Martin last night. Showdown with Micheál Martin, sorry, in light of the Jim Gavin presidential campaign that came down on top of himself and the Taoiseach like a stone of bricks or a ton of bricks on Sunday night. The fact that Martin has effectively thrown Gavin under the bus has only infuriated party support, and they accuse him of shirking his responsibility as the one that was instrumental in putting his name on the ballot paper and bypassing Bertie Ahern. Many believe that Ahern would have won the presidency in a canter. However, Martin made sure he was not going to be in the contest and that he was obliterated from the history of Fianna Fáil, as was Éamon O'Caoimh. When the parliamentary party voted to select Gavin as the chosen one for the presidency, he received 43 votes with Billy Kelleher, surprising the leadership with 29 votes. The Donegal News this morning. Business owners in Letterkenny say cuts to the VAT rate for the hospitality sector announced in the budget this week will do little to ease the struggles of those already feeling the squeeze. a blanket cut in the VAT rate for restaurants, cafes, catering businesses and hairdressers from 13.5 to 9% was announced on Tuesday's budget, set to take effect in July next year. The finance minister said this move reflects the government's commitment to supporting businesses in the service sector, particularly those facing rising cost pressures. But two business owners in Donegal welcomed the reduction, but highlighted that the changes do not go far enough. You can hear more from them on the inside of that paper today. The Derry News this morning, a conservative accreditation register for engineers, structural engineers with extensive knowledge of listed buildings, has been appointed to advise Derry City and Strabane District Council following the partial collapse of the former Convent of Mercy building in Pump Street. The structural collapse of the Grade B1 listed building took place in the early hours of Sunday morning. It resulted in the street being cordoned off, causing disruption for local residents and businesses. On to the Nationals now, and just when papers go to press determines what they can cover. And obviously the Irish Times had their ears on what was going on during that parliamentary party meeting of Fianna Fáil last night. Micheál Martin has apologised and acknowledged the hurt and shock of Fianna Fáil members as he addressed his party on its disastrous presidential election campaign. The Taoiseach is understood to have told a packed meeting of his parliamentary party how he was sorry for how things had turned out and was devastated by the situation. The party's candidate, former Dublin football manager Jim Gavin, ended his campaign on Sunday night amid a controversy over his time as a landlord in the late 2000s. There is a anger within Fianna Fáil that it no longer has a candidate, about how Mr. Gavin was selected and a vetting process that did not uncover a dispute he had with a former tenant. And what vetting process was there? It turns out journalists were well aware of this situation because the former tenant in question is a journalist. The Labour Party had mentioned it and others as well, and Fianna Fáil knew at the start of September. So there can't have been any vetting at all because lots of people knew all about it. A standard home is now selling for 8 times what the average person earns. This is in the Irish Daily Mail. This is shocking, isn't it? However, competition remains fierce despite the extremely high cost, a survey has found. While the rate of house price inflation is slowing, myhome.ie's latest 3-monthly report found a fifth of homes sold in September went for 20% or more above their asking price. The report warns that affordability is becoming more stretched this year, with the average residential property selling for 8 times average earnings, the highest level since 2009. And this is why we can't really compare house prices nowadays to, say, for instance, in the 80s, even when there were extremely high levels of mortgage interest rates and what have you, because really it's the cost of the house versus the average wage that really is an indicator. And 8 times, the standard home is selling for 8 times what the average person earns. And that is a gap that needs to close by half in reality. So there is a slowing down of sorts, but it's not necessarily slowing down of demand. I'd say it's a slowing down of people being able to afford to buy these homes. 8 times your salary. I do note that the majority of coverage in the newspapers as it relates to the presidential election is negative. I work in journalism, right? But it seems to be that every journalist in the country is trying to uncover something negative about the candidates. And then again, maybe, you know, if I have one of the candidates on, I do tend potentially to go down a negative line. But I would hope I leave time then for the other side of it as well. But it just seems that everyone has their targets focused to try and get another Jim Gavin story rather than maybe just cover some of the other stuff they're talking about. But anyway, there's only 2 candidates, so 2 wee stories out of the Irish Independent. Heather Humphreys has said a campaign video about her visit to Belfast that featured Germany's parliamentary building was an error. This is how controversial this is. There was a video of a German building in it, or a picture of a German building in the video. The Fine Gael president candidate, who is from a Protestant background and grew up in the border county of Monaghan, has previously said she has a unique understanding of Northern Ireland. She said she has travelled to the north on many, many occasions and does not only go on day trips. in reference to other candidates. But, I mean, obviously this video had an image of a German building. Catherine Connolly, independent president candidate Catherine Connolly, said she would have to think about it when asked if she would consider hiring a convicted rapist to work in the Aris, which is an interesting question. It follows last week's. It's one of those questions, actually, whereby whatever way you answer, whatever way you answer. So if she said no, she denied something. If she said yes, she's. It follows last week's revelation that Ms. Connolly employed a woman in 2019 who was previously convicted of possessing a weapon and ammunition while the Galway TD was working on an Irish language Oireachtas committee. So someone went from that to would she hire a convicted rapist? The Irish Farmers Journal today, skyrocketing levels of bovine TB have gobbled up half of the Department of Agriculture's budget 2026 funding boost of 170 million. The department received 157 million in Tuesday's budget to cover bovine TB costs next year as the costs of the programme continued to swell. The cost of TB eradication this year is set to exceed 100 million. Compared to 37 million 6 years ago. Is that money being well spent? We seem to be spending an awful lot of money, but still to have quite a problem with TB. If anyone out there has an interest in that and can let me know, 086 60 25,000, if it's still a problem and we're spending so much money, there seems to be some sort of a gap. You might remember the Dublin riots and some of the footage that was going around on social media. There was a guard at one point being surrounded and assaulted, and a bus was set on fire. Well, the investigation has been ongoing since, and the process of getting people before the courts has been ongoing, and it's come to a conclusion. In one case, as reported in the Irish Daily Star, a man was jailed yesterday for 5.5 years for his role in assaulting a Garda sergeant during the Dublin riots. The court heard that the assault on Sergeant Brendan Edery by Thomas Fox, 22, was live-streamed, and the officer's wife and teenage daughter later received videos of the attack. Sergeant Edery said in his victim impact statement that when he saw a number of men running towards him that night, he decided on principle not to yield to bullies, a mob. He said the group's only goal was random violence and intimidation before he described his patrol car being set alight. And some of these guys were found, and obviously not the sharpest tools in the box, with quite a lot of drugs on them as well. Obviously, this was off the back of a particular incident in Dublin that you might remember. But it was just people then who, and I'm not saying anyone was justified in acting as they did, but it's just bad people running around, pockets full of drugs, assaulting Gardaí. Probably didn't even know what it was all about. On to the Sun now. And the DUP has distanced itself from comments made by Ian Paisley Jr. Interesting comments around the potential of a United Ireland. Paisley, a former MP for North Antrim, also emphasised his British identity as he took part in new podcast series Borderland from BBC NI. However, he told the show he was open to persuasive arguments. He said, it's who and what I am. I'm a Brit. I'm a British citizen. But if you have got persuasive arguments, please present them, because to date, I've not heard them. But the DUP said the party is not interested in engaging or being persuaded on the so-called merits of United Ireland or New Ireland. Now, I haven't heard the podcast in total, but I think what he's effectively saying there is that he is British and he doesn't necessarily believe a persuasive argument is out there. But as I say, I didn't hear the podcast. I could use Dolly Parton. Everyone loves Dolly Parton, don't they? Her sister had quite innocently put out a post on Facebook saying, pray for my sister. You know, she's not doing the best lately. And obviously the world ran with that as if Dolly was on the brink. But she's fine. And she recorded a video to point that out. And she looks amazing for a lady. Do you know what? For whatever age she is, she looks amazing. But Dolly Parton spoke out last night to assure fans she ain't dead yet. Following fears over her health, concerns were raised for the 79-year-old music legend after her sister said she was up all night praying for her. But Dolly lost her husband. They'd been together for almost 60 years, I think, or maybe almost 70 years, and she lost him earlier this year. So that's obviously going to prove very upsetting. And she says she took her eye off her own health, and I think she's suffering with kidney stones or gallstones or something. But anyway, she's fine, she says. She's got a few wee procedures to get done, and she's going to be backing at it very, very soon, which is good news. I like to hear that people are healthy and doing well. Now, if you listen to this programme, you'd be familiar with the Carn Dona Day services. There was a massive campaign to get them restored, and thankfully they were restored, and we had a lovely outside broadcast actually from Carn Dona there, and it was a great day of celebration and great fun. And they are there, and they're for lots of different types of people as well too, you know. And I want to chat to Tony Doherty, who's chair of the Carn Dona Day Service restoration campaign, just to reach as many people as possible. Maybe people have conceptions or preconceived notions of what day services are, who they're for, whether they would be for you or not for you. So it'd be interesting maybe to tease it out with Tony. And I suppose it's not just Carn Dona Day services. This would apply across the board. Right, Tony, my GY, good morning to you. How are you keeping?
Morning, Greg, and thanks very much for having us on the show.
Yes, so all's going well, isn't it? This is about really widening out potentially the scope of the clientele for the day services. Things are going well since we last spoke.
Aye, so the last time we spoke, if you like, we were going through a trial period, a 3-month trial period, and as you said, Highland Radio came down halfway through that outside broadcast. And we got good news that day that the service was being reinstated permanently. So that was a huge day. That was the 20th of May. Remember, it was a beautiful, beautiful sunny Tuesday morning. So we were all absolutely delighted. I'm delighted to tell you all this morning that it's 2 days per week. The average number of people that are attending the service has been between 20 and 28. For example, 20 on Monday of this week and 23 on Tuesday of this week. So it's all going great, Greg. We're looking to try and extend that. We're talking to Spriggs Sport to try and get a third day. And we believe that the HSE will look favourably on that. There's some constraints, logistics, if you like, because as you know, Spriggs is a really popular community centre. But we're very hopeful that we're going to have a third day, and we're working hard on that. The reason for, kind of reaching out today, and thanks for having us again, is that we're coming into the winter time now, and it's really a time for people to start to it's the days are getting shorter, and we're reaching out to our elderly people and telling them that really there's an opportunity for you to really avail of these fantastic services. There's a minibus service, the driver who drives the minibus actually comes and Neil Cross, and he comes and plays the accordion. Everybody loves the music. We've got so many different people that come different days. Colin Kelly, Dennis McGuinness, Bernie McLaughlin comes and plays the keyboards. Joe Henry, who you've met, Joe Crochet, Gabriel Duffy, who, if you remember, you went down and he sang Cairn Fair.
He's brilliant.
And Neil, the four verses, if you remember, is a real special moment that day. Andy O'Connor from the Men's Shed. So different groups getting involved. He plays the melodeon. The guards are coming in to talk about personal security. There's a knitting class. They do a lot of exercise. Mm.
See, it's backed by the HSC. So you've got the words HSC, and then you've got the way the words day services in there. And what I went down to was, and there's nothing wrong with that, don't get me wrong, but what I went to was a social club, really, effectively. Now, I'm not renaming it, don't get me wrong, but what I went down to was a social club where you had, older people, but they were young, vibrant, fun people with a world of sort of experiences and skills. And it was just really good fun. There was a buzz, there was an atmosphere. Anyone listening to the OB would hear that in the background. And I just hope that people understand what the Carn Dona Day services is in that context, if you know what I mean. Why would anyone in that area not go along and in a lovely, warm and friendly environment and just enjoy a couple of hours once or twice a week? The numbers are great, but there's so many people that could benefit so much, Tony, that maybe aren't.
Yeah, and I remember telling you the story about my father, and he was 85, 86 at the time. And he thought the daycare service was a great idea, but he used to say to me, he was going to wait until he gets old before using it. And that's kind of maybe a key message trying to get through here today. He eventually did go, by the way, right? But, there's kind of a pulling and hauling, as they say around here, right, for it to happen. And there's a number of people who can make valuable contributions, people of a certain age who can, who know the history of the area, who's who, stories, advice and support. It's all done in a very safe environment, So, you know, what we're trying to say to people, and you kind of say that social thing, you know, there's the richness of all of that, the rich tapestry of that, all right, with our elderly. And we're trying to encourage people to come out and support the daycare service and maybe to help some of the other people there that maybe, you know, maybe need it more than what they do. So, you know, as you alluded to there, it's a community service. And it's collectively that we grow the service and, you know, create the culture.
Well, I can't see any issue with a young, in inverted commas, 60, 65, 70-year-old. I mean, but I don't know what the lower age is. But, I mean, the people I engaged with there, I don't know their ages, and their ages were irrelevant, but they were young people, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Yes. They were young people, done up to the nines, with a world of talent, brilliant voices, great fun. You know, I didn't get the sense that I was in an older person's place, if that makes sense. And I don't even know what that is, Tony. But it's just in case there are people who are 70 or something that think, well, you know, I'm day services. And that's why I'm trying to reframe it maybe a little bit for those ears, that I saw effectively as an amazing social club and an opportunity to have fun and get something to eat, a cup of tea and have the crack. You know what I mean? Anyway, that was only my take on it, Tony.
No, that's all of that, you know. And, you know, again, Greg, we're coming into the winter, you know, the long dark nights. So it's a perfect time to kind of shake down, if you like, and make plans for the winter. You know, and all of this is helping with loneliness, mental health, you know, community interaction. So that's kind of what the call out is for.
I'm just thinking too, you know, there could be a man or a woman listening to us right now, for an example, in that general area who, you know, maybe lost a partner during COVID, or maybe the two of them are in the house. And, you know, we were bombarded with information during COVID about going outside. And, you know, you don't go outside or you don't socialise for a certain amount of time. You kind of lose the knack of it, or you think you do, you know. And those people who may feel isolated or may feel lonely, I'm telling you, there are services and there are facilities out there, and you won't get anything more welcoming than the staff and the people at Carn Donna Day Services. So if you found yourself going out once a week since COVID, or for whatever reason it might be, get along. You know, get along and meet other people. You will not meet a nicer group of people. And as you say, in the winter, the days feel much longer.
That's right, Greg. And, you know, something that we're trying to do, and, you know, COVID, we talked before about COVID and the effect of COVID on us all in so many different ways. But what we're doing in conjunction with the daycare services, we're going to have a Christmas party in the Colgan Hall. It's Sunday, the 7th of December. It's something that used to happen, I think, pretty much everywhere, you know, back 20 or 30 years ago. I know that we stopped doing it in Cairn Donnan, and I have a sense that it stopped in a lot of places. But we're reviving, you know, a traditional sort of party that used to happen where, you know, we're inviting today everybody from Cairn Donnan and the surrounding areas at 3 o'clock on Sunday, the 7th of December. There's going to be music. The Henry Girls have already said they're going to be there. The brass band, the local Cairn Donnan choir, Donna Choir, and, you know, loads of different musicians. We're not short of that around here. There'll be food and sandwiches and finger food from Super Value, spot prizes. And there's even a rumour that a guy called Santa Claus might be turning up, and he would know a few of the people.
An early mention for Santa. What is it? October.
I'm not sure if I'm allowed to do that, am I?
No, I listen, there ain't no rules here. As long as you don't libel him.
This is an opportunity for us.
That's the Colgan Hall. What day in September did you say?
So that's the first, the easiest way to remember that is it's the 7th of December. It's the first Sunday in December in the afternoon. And, you know, we'd be delighted, you know, because Greg, you've been you guys in Highland Radio have been a great support to us. You know, you got involved in this issue in September 2023. And since then you've kept, I guess, the injustice, you know, of the plight of the people in North Innes shown on the agenda. And, you know, we really appreciate that, your outside broadcast. And you know what? It's local radio at its best, what's happened here, right? It's really helped us to really gain momentum and get our voice out there to all the people in the and the hills around Inishowen, you know, and getting the support. So we'd be delighted if you could, you know, could be there. It's on the Sunday, you know, it's whatever. But anybody from Highland Radio, well, if they're, they're very welcome to come along.
It sounds like something I could take take the family up to. Actually, we'll see, we shall certainly see. It's something I definitely would love to go to, Tony. So we'll remind.
By the way, sorry, it's not that really. It's the opportunity to thank the HSE staff.
That's
and the
it,
carers,
yeah.
You know, for all the support and everything they do for us.
They are brilliant. Stay there. Councillor Albert Doherty obviously was a key political figure. Cross-party support there was for the restoration of the Carr and Donna Day services. Now, but I suppose you called in, timely reminded to welcome the fact that these services are there, and I suppose to back Tony in saying, you know, get out there and enjoy these services. Use them if you're in and around the area.
100%. I think it's important in the community that we acknowledge and are thankful for the void that has been filled with the restoration of daycare services. And just listening to Tony and knowing the committee and the staff involved, it's to say a sincere thank you to all involved. But even the positive steps that Tony's mentioned, we'd like 2 days to become three. We'd like eventually 5 days. But there has been a need, the need's been restored, and now we'd like to provide more. And I think it's just important that we acknowledge and thank all concerned who have helped deliver the restoration of daycare services here in Cardona.
All right, and let's challenge those people in that area who now feel that, all right, okay, maybe that is for me to get along. And it's very welcoming, isn't it, Tony? You just turn up, don't you, on Monday? Is it Monday and Tuesdays?
Mondays and Tuesdays, yeah, you know, so it's on our Facebook page. You know, if you're living in the Carndon area and you're already known to the public health nurse service, you contact your local public health nurse and I can give you the number 074-9898-259 to get registered. And if you're not known, you can contact Carndon Community Hospital directly on 07493-74164. To get registered.
We'll retain those numbers here. Councillor Doherty, thank you for your time and well done on the work you did.
And thank you, Greg, and thank you, Highland, as well, for all the support.
Take care. And remind us, you will, of course, Tony, you wouldn't allow us to forget, closer to the time so we can give Colgan Hall a mention. Is that all right? Well done to you, by the way, and the rest of the committee for what you're doing for the people.
And thank you, Greg. And just one final thing, if I can just say, you know, everybody listening here, you know, throughout Donegal and the North West, you know, as we come into the winter and looking out the window here, it's a wee bit dark this morning, you know, to call in and see your elderly neighbours, you know, it's amazing what one wee visit, you know, will mean to their day, however short or insignificant it may seem. You know, we all have our part to play in this. I would just call on us all to kind of think of that as the days close in.
For sure. All right. Thanks so much indeed. That is Tony Doherty, Chair of the Carr and Donna Day Services Restoration Campaign. We also heard there from Councillor Albert Doherty. Right. So in the budget, and we're still sort of breaking down some of the consequences of the budget and their implications. In the budget, it was announced that the Living City Initiative Scheme was being extended to Letterkenny. So this will mean the eligibility for residential properties from those built before 1915 to those built before 1975 will now support converting over-the-shop premises into residential units aiming to address housing shortages. Councillor Paul Canning is Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council, but also, of course, has a through his own business interests, has a keen interest in this area as well. Paul, thanks for joining me.
No problem, Greg. It's good to hear from you and hello to all your listeners.
Right, so describe the scheme to me. I suppose we'll just go straight to its potential benefits for Letterkenny, as you see it.
Yeah. Well, it's great to see that the word city has been linked with Letterkenny in nearly every conversation we're having now. So that's a plus for Letterkenny. In relation to this scheme, it's a tax relief for businesses in relation to anybody that wants to change, convert, do whatever they have to do with their premises within the town centre. So it's to encourage bringing people back into the centre of the town. And this is probably an easier grant allocation for you're already in a situation where you're in your business, you're going through your business, and you say, well, hold on a second here. If I convert to the or fix upstairs or do it up, I will get tax incentives here, so I'll get tax relief then on my returns, and that is already in the mix with your account anyway. So it's probably an easier grant to avail of than previous grants whenever you were applying to get A, B, and C done.
Now, before we sort of talk, before we talk about sort of how it works, I mean, I think cities are better, or towns, or large towns, or however you want to. It's better when there's a mix of the population, isn't there? That, you know, you have a mixture of business and residential.
Without a doubt, and key to Letterkenny, and we keep saying it, key to Letterkenny is the ATU, the status that the ATU has, and the fact that their aim is to get students up to about 600, and they are getting major investment all the time. And in fairness to Paul Hannigan and John Anthony and Dr. Orla Flynn, they are at that level, and they want Letterkenny to come along with them in the journey. And I know you've probably spoke to Orla Flynn in the past, or will be, in relation to the professor status. So all of that brings students, and those students then they will be spending money in the town, as well as your local people and as well as visitors to the town. So it all works well for the town of Letterkenny, and we do have major investment coming into Letterkenny in relation to the old courthouse and in relation to the innovation centre. You know, there's 24 million coming in there to that innovation centre, and there's 7 million coming into the old courthouse. All of that is part of the regeneration of Letterkenny. This is another string in the bow.
And I'm sorry to bring the dreaded word traffic into it at this stage, okay? But I mean, all this development is fantastic.
Well, that's understandable. And
but you know,
that's expected. Yeah. You know, I was expecting the conversation of traffic, because we do have that issue. And I know you know my answer, because us as the Fianna Fáil party voted against that four lane until we were ready. We felt that we weren't ready, but now that it's here, we have to work with it. So in relation to the TNT project, just to give you a quick run on the TNT project, is we are at a stage now where it's the environmental, all of that has been teed up, and it's with the board, and we're waiting on decisions in that. Then we go to basically the compulsory purchase order, and we go through all that process. So all that process is in play. The TNT is probably the only major road project that is the furthest advanced at the minute, because we have the hold up with the A5, the N2, all of them. The TNT stands alone, and it is moving in the right direction. Slow, I know, but it is moving, and we are ahead of the posse in relation to that. So that is ongoing. There is a commitment from the government in relation to the TNT. We have a lot of, at this stage, we haven't really got engaged too much with the landowners, but we will be engaging with them at a much deeper level as we go through the process. But we have to go through that planning process first, and we are doing the test holds, as you know, and bits and pieces like that. But we are moving. That then brings you into the Bunnegee link, which also creates the sorts out the situation regarding the traffic. We are aware of it. We know how it works, and we know the implications that's there. We don't have any options other than that Bunnegee link, and that's where we're at.
All right, so it'll be interesting to see what the level of uptake is. And I presume the dates there are to stop, say, for instance, someone turning areas above modern shops into handy housing. And this is designed for traditional buildings in towns built before 1915 to those built before 1975.
It's designed for traditional buildings. But, you know, and we are now we're launching a project out in the independent living at the moment for disabled people, and bringing disabled people back into the workforce. That's happening today in Letterkenny. So the situation is it gives those houses or those apartments or those two, it gives them an option to say, well, hold on a second here. We, because we're built prior to 1975, we don't have the proper disabled access for a lot of people. And that cuts a lot of people out of the market at the moment. And the older people, it gives them an option to say, well, let's look at the back of this building. Can we put a lift? And the council at the minute is actually offering grants for lifts that actually the straight through floor lift. And you can put a lift into your house now, Greg, for about 25,000 max, you know. And that is the same as your commercial lift, that a person can wheel a wheelchair into it and arrive upstairs, two stories up, three stories up. So that's all, that all weighs itself in that direction. And that will suit a lot of people. And it also ticks a box in relation to us looking after disabled people.
Yep.
So all of that goes in that direction. And it's great to see us going in that direction.
Well,
and I know at times it can be slow and all that, but that's where we're at regarding the council and at national level.
All right, Gio. Listen, thanks for that quick word on the parliamentary party meeting last night. If you were in it, would you have expressed confidence and faith in your party leader?
Of course I would have confidence and faith in the party leader, but as you well know, Greg, I'm on the bottom rung of the ladder.
Yeah, but you're all bottom rung, Paul. You're all bottom rung, and that's why I'm asking you.
that's why I'm able to answer you as well, you know what I mean? I would have confidence in him, of course, you know
really?
What I mean?
So what would he have to do for you to lose confidence in him? I mean, he's made an absolute hames of your party with this whole process.
You go back a few years where we were, and we are the largest party in the country again, so he must have done something right.
Okay. I'll leave it on that note. Thanks very much indeed, Councillor Paul Canning. Now, I want to mention that the Donegal Down Syndrome Association are hosting their annual Cars and Coffee event on Sunday. It's at the Carrigart Parochial Hall from 12 noon until 2 p.m. Donations welcome at the door. Tickets will be on sale for a raffle as well. So if you like your coffee and you like your cars, and you can have tea as well, of course, and there's some buns and what have you, get along to Carrigart Parochial Hall this Sunday from 12 noon until 2 p.m. It's a wonderful hall. It's a lovely atmosphere. There's loads of parking and easy access. And also you'll be supporting Donegal Down Syndrome Association. So if you're in and around that area, or even indeed if you fancy just travelling somewhere on Sunday for a drive and a coffee, get along to Cars and Coffee this Sunday between 12 noon and 2 p.m. at the Carrigart Parochial Hall. And there's another thing that I want to mention as well, by the way, just whilst I'm on this vibe. Yeah, it's a coffee morning that is taking place on Saturday. You're invited to a special coffee morning. It's a fundraising event. It's being held in aid of critical emergency medical response. So, you know, Jerry Lane, he's been on with us before. These guys do amazing work in getting to people and giving them the best opportunity of life. Well, that team provide vital support when it's needed most. And the event is in memory of Enis McFadden. And it's on the 11th of October, which is Saturday, between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. And it's at 159 Upper Mount Marion, Milford. And all proceeds on that day will directly benefit Critical's amazing volunteer work. So your support makes a real difference. And there's a poster going about as well too. In fact, it's on my social media. If you just search Greg Hughes, there's a wee link there if you want to remember Mr. McFadden, but also support Critical. Then you can actually just go onto my Facebook page and click the link if you can't get along to the coffee morning. Right, the HSE's National Ambulance Service has said that failures to meet response targets means that some patients can wait for more than 2 hours for an emergency service response. In the HSE West and North West region, 64% of purple calls and 45% of red calls were made within target. Now, I suppose overall, I don't know how those targets being missed corresponds with how long you might actually have to wait, Jerry. But obviously in your position, you've dug a little bit deeper into this. So what do the figures tell us?
Well, there's obviously a massive demand on the ambulance service currently in Donegal and indeed in the whole West. But this is it's an issue we've been raising now for quite a while with the Regional Health Forum. and the National Ambulance Service at the meetings. And there's a number of things that they've been putting in place. They try and meet the target set by HICWA. We have the Pathway Initiative now, which is trying to minimise the amount of people that have to be taken to hospital. Look, we all know the difficulties that we have in University Hospital Letterkenny with the accident emergency. We have regularly ambulances queued up waiting to deliver patients into the ED. We only have one hospital in Donegal. We have an operational model. We've argued this quite a while, a few times, that is based on cities in Britain that has been transferred here. We don't think that model fits in rural Ireland.
And I think that's particularly exposed, isn't it, when you could have, you know, 3, 4, 5 ambulances at LUH that could be from all different parts of the county, and then you get an emergency call and you look at where the next available ambulance is, and then that's where you get these stories, albeit I hope they're rare, an ambulance from Kinloch responding. It's all sort of intertwined, isn't it, with our geographical spread, the delays sometimes in discharging patients from ambulances into the hospital, and then of course the inevitability that the phone goes when you have your least resources often.
Yeah, look, and ambulances, I say regularly. I mean, last week we had, on one day, 13 ambulances queued up at Letterkenny University Hospital. That has a massive impact on the service in the county. And we've had to, in the past, as you're aware, Greg, bring ambulances in from other counties to meet the demand and the calls that have been used in Donegal and vice versa. Ambulances from Donegal have had to go into other counties as well because they're under pressure. But if we drill down into the figures, if we look at the purple calls, which are an average of 11 to 20 a week, and that's the one that's not hitting its targets, it's probably the most serious and something that we really have to look. Because if you were waiting for, if you're on a purple call and waiting for an ambulance, 5 minutes, 10 minutes is a long time, never mind having to wait up to an hour. The red calls, which would be averaging around 800 calls on a weekly basis, they are hitting the targets. So there is a lot of calls that are being met in the time set by HICWA, but we have to get better.
Just in relation to how we respond to that, I mean, obviously the more crews, more ambulances, well, we have the ambulances, more crews seems obvious, but we don't want a situation where instead of 13 ambulances queued up at the ED, there's 23 ambulances queued up to the AD, if you know what I mean, like at the ED, sorry. So I think that seems to be a real issue in terms of, you know, ambulances being unnecessarily, you would feel unnecessarily tied up.
Yeah, and look, it's what we do, because the ambulance service and the personnel are doing a fantastic job in this county, as they are across the whole country. And what we need to look at is, right, how can we give them the tools to do their job as and when is needed? And I know locally the management in the West and the Northwest have been asking for further service development posts to be allocated to Donegal. There was a number of these posts allocated right across the country, but unfortunately in the West and Northwest, none of those posts were allocated. And we've asked about them. We've put in PQs to the minister as to why this hasn't happened, because this would help and enhance the service that we have, particularly here in Donegal. And as you're aware, Greg, we have a very aging population. Mm-hmm. Now, all the demographics of, you know, what leads to a lot more seems to cancer patients, a lot more people with COPD in Donegal. So there's nearly a bigger ask. And I think rather than looking at the place as a whole, the country as a whole, we need to look at the specific needs of each county.
Well, the money has to follow the patient. It's logical,
yeah,
but unfortunately at the moment
and
it
put
doesn't.
The resources into Donegal and indeed the Northwest that are needed to meet the demand.
Okay.
And that's the issue for us at the minute. It's getting the powers that be to understand this and take it on, and to look outside the so-called operational model that they're currently using.
All right, all we can do is keep plugging away until such time as that's achieved. Thank you very much indeed. That's Councillor Jerry McMonagle, who is chair of the Regional Health Forum West. And many of you out there have been that family or that individual waiting on that ambulance. 64% of purple calls and 45% of red calls were made within targets. That, I mean, it's obviously, I don't need to say this to you, but that means obviously the remainder were not. And it's the most critical calls too that we're not reaching the targets on. We are reaching the targets on the red calls, but not the purple calls. And those are the ones where every second counts. Okay, back with more after the news.